Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Good to have you with us here for another in the series of Read the Word. Welcome to North Dakota. First night I got my long sleeve shirts on. Well, we got a North Dakota wind blowing. And wow, it is that time of year.
And wow.
And wow. But it's all right. We all love it here. I think it's amazing. I don't mind this because you can always put a little extra clothes on. There's only so many clothes you can take off, and then you're just naked and you're still sweating.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways.
I prefer.
Welcome to Read the Word. Two nights in a row, a grand entrance. Tonight we're going to be in Luke chapter 11. Great chapter in Jesus' life. And regardless of how many preachers believe it, Jesus didn't say to the disciples and those who were around him. Now, chapter 11, verse number 1, we're going to do this. It just isn't the case. Man put the chapters in. Thank God for his holy, living, amazing, awesome word.
Amen.
That is so filled with life and strength. And it's just straight up majestic. Just straight up majestic. If you missed tonight's program, make sure you go listen to it. I study it because, you know, I say it all the time, but wow. We read Romans chapter 3, 4, 5, and 6 last night. And then tonight we read 5, 6, 7, and 8. Just to get the verses inside of us about righteousness. Most people can only quote about 4 or 5 verses out of all 6 of those chapters. And in those 6 chapters, the word righteousness is used 36 times or 33 times. And it just goes to prove that if we're not careful as preachers, we end up preaching just a few of our favorite verses out of a passage of scripture, rather than just breaking it down, saying, hold it, we got to read the whole thing. We've got to read the whole thing. And so, thank you for being here with us. It's going to be a good time tonight in Jesus' mighty name. Now, let's start out tonight. We only got one chapter, Luke chapter 11. I want to start out in Luke chapter 4, and I want to read verses 16 through 22. This is Jesus' call. So he came to Nazareth where he'd been brought up. This is Luke 4, 16 through 22, where he'd been brought up. And as his custom was, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. When he'd opened the book, he found the place where it was written about him. Watch this. They handed him a scroll to read that day. And these sets of verses had already been picked out many years before. And Jesus showed up in that synagogue on that day, handed that scroll of the prophet Isaiah, and read about himself. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him because he sat down in a seat that was reserved for the Messiah. Nobody ever sat in that seat. That seat was reserved for the Messiah only, and Jesus sat down. These are all the people in his hometown. 21, he began to say to him, today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. All bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is this not Joseph's son? And they went from marveled to filled with wrath in the matter of six verses.
Yeah.
Now, why did I read this? All through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, these are the verses you're going to see that Jesus does on every day, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and this is his assignment. Preach the good news to the poor, heal the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captive, recovery of sight to the blind, set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. So every time we come here, that's what we're going to see Jesus doing, even tonight. Luke chapter 11. Now, this is pretty cool. This is Luke's rendition of the Our Father, as the Catholics would say. The Lord's Prayer, as the Methodists would say. But I want to hand it to you that this is the disciples' prayer. Jesus is teaching the disciples to pray. Because Jesus can't pray, forgive me of my sin. He didn't sin. So it's not the Lord's Prayer. His prayer would be, thank you, Father, for the righteousness that's helped me not sin. Verse 1, came to pass as he was praying in a certain place when he ceased, one of his disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Makes you wonder if they were like Peter, James, and John, like, listen to this guy praying. I know. Can you believe it, Peter? Listen to him. I bet you can't pray like that, Peter. I can. No, you can't. I heard you praying just the other day. You know how those three were. Verse 2. He said, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom. Well, now the kingdom has come. It's within us. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Isn't it something that Luke stopped right there? Verse number 5. And he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves for a friend to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him because he didn't text me before he got here. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut. My children are in bed, and so am I. I cannot rise and give you to eat. I say to you, though he will not rise and give him to eat because he's his friend, yet because of his shameless persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Shameless persistence. Verse 9. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you'll find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. Everyone who asks receives. And to him who seeks, to he who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will they give him a serpent instead of a fish? If he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? 13. If you then, being evil or human, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit? Well, give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. He wants you to have the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's part of my prayer of salvation that I pray. And I lead you in. Because if he wants you to have the Holy Spirit more than you even are to ask, then you might as well ask. And he's going to give it to you. Verse 14. He was casting out a demon. It was healed. So it was when the demon had gone out that the mute spoke, and the multitudes marveled. But some of them said, he cast out demons by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. Just stupid. Others testing him sought from him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their hearts, said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falls. If Satan is also divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? Because you say, I cast out demons by Beelzebub. And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Oh, they don't cast them out.
Just leave them in.
They live with them. Jesus was making a very valid point.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, they will be your judges. But if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. Jesus went about teaching the kingdom of God. When a strong man fully armed guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, and he takes from him all of his armor in which he trusted, and divides his spoil, and then divides his spoil. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. Powerful statement by Jesus, isn't it? An unclean spirit returns. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man. You ever thought about that? That there's only one group of people on the face of the earth that can make that happen? And that's somebody who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
He goes through dry places seeking rest. And finding none, he says, I will return to my house from which I came, speaking of you that had it cast out. When he comes to find it swept and put in order, he goes and takes with him seven other spirits, more wicked than himself. And they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Well, if a demon comes back in you and brings seven more,
mm-hmm.
That's bad. 27. And it happened as he spoke these things, a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, blessed is the womb, you can hear a woman, that bore you and the breast which nursed you. I was trying to do it, but I didn't do a very good job. Did I do it good enough?
Right.
But he said, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. The woman was trying to glorify a human. And Jesus wanted you to get the revelation of his holy word in your life. And now, just do not look up. 29. And while the crowds were thickly gathered together, he began to say, this is an evil generation. It seeks a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah the prophet. For as Jonah became a sign to the Ninevites, so also the Son of Man will be to this generation. The Queen of the South will rise up in judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And indeed, a greater than Solomon is here. Who was the one greater than Solomon? Jesus. The men of Nineveh will rise up in judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And indeed, a greater than Jonah is here, greater than Solomon, greater than Jonah. And what is his name? Jesus. 33. No one, when he has lit a lamp, puts it in a secret place or under a basket, but on a lampstand, that those who come in may see the light. The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body is full of light. But when your eye is bad, your whole body also is full of darkness. Therefore, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. That's an interesting statement. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, the whole body will be full of light, as when the bright shining of a lamp gives you light. And yet Jesus said, if your light is darkness, how great will it be? If the only light you have inside of you is darkness, it's going to be extreme darkness. Because darkness to the any degree, first degree, second degree, third, darkness is darkness. That's all there is. You don't ever find a flash dark where you can hit a button and make it dark. Darkness is the absence of light. And as soon as light shows up, darkness has to flee. Another drink of coffee. Woe to the Pharisees and the lawyers. This gets real serious with Jesus real quick, because Jesus didn't have no good thing to say about the religious nuts of his day. Ready? And as he spoke, a certain Pharisee asked him to dine with him. So he went in and sat down to eat. When the Pharisees saw it, when the Pharisee, the singular one, saw it, he marveled that he had not washed his hand before dinner. The Lord said to him, now you Pharisees make the outside of the cup and dish clean, but your inward part is full of greed and wickedness. You foolish ones, did not he who made the outside make the inside also? It's simple, but it's profound. But rather give alms of such things as you have, then indeed all things are clean to you. But woe to you, Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass by justice and the love of God. So they tithe even their spices.
Yeah.
Now, I'm a pretty serious tither, but I consider my spices covered under the tithes from my wages.
But if that was their only wages, I mean, they just bartered with materials, right? So they.
Oh, I was thinking in a Western mind again. I was going to have to dump all my, you know, Mrs. Decker's onion salt out and then divide it up in 10 piles. But you're right. Yeah, that makes sense. 43. Woe to you, Pharisees, for you love the best seat in the synagogue and greetings in the marketplace. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. For you're like graves which are not seen, and the man who walked over them are not aware of them, falling in a hole on a dead person. One of the lawyers answered and said to him, teacher, by saying these things, you reproach us all, us also. And he said, you're not just a tootin'. Woe to you, lawyers. For you load men with burdens hard to bear, and you yourselves do not touch the burdens with one of your fingers. Woe to you, for you build the tombs of the prophets, and your fathers killed them. In fact, you bear witness that you approve the deeds of your fathers, for they indeed killed them, and you build their tombs. Therefore, the wisdom of God also said, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they will kill and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets, which was shed from the foundation of the world, may be required of this generation. So you and I can corporately pray and see God change things for a nation, for a group of people, like we're praying for the election right now. Because God just said that the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world will be on their account. That's pretty serious. 51, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who perished between the altar and the temple. Yes, I say to you, shall be required of this generation. Woe to you, lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You did not enter in yourselves, and those who are entering in, you have hindered. Don't do that. And as he said these things to them, the scribes and Pharisees began to assail him vehemently and to cross-examine him about many things, lying in wait for him and seeking to catch him in something he might say that they might accuse him. They are of their father, the accuser of the brethren. Now, what you and I see all the way through this is Jesus is preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Some of them receive it, and it blesses them. But in this chapter, pretty much all of it was to the scribes and Pharisees, woe, you're about to be destroyed if you don't change from your ways. And it's the same thing today. It is the same thing today. You need to change from your ways. And if you're just religious and you don't have a relationship with God, you got to get that fixed. You got to get that fixed. Because it'd be a mess to do a bunch of things for God down here and stand before him and he'd say, depart from me, I never knew you. You worker of iniquity, because you just looked at religious, acted religious, talked religious, but you didn't have any substance within your soul. You must be born again. You must be filled with his righteousness. You must be filled with the Spirit of God and walking with God every day. It's not difficult. It's a simple thing. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I encourage you to pray with me right now. And in the matter of 2 minutes, you'll be right with God. Isn't that something? You can live a whole life all messed up, and in 2 minutes, be right with God. Pray this with me. Father, in Jesus' name.
Father, in Jesus' name.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
And according to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
When I believe in you.
When I believe in you.
You give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting life.
And I will not perish.
And I will not perish.
Now be bold. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
And you rose again on the third day just for me.
And you rose again on the third day just for me.
Put your arms up and just say it. I receive you into my life, Jesus.
I receive you into my life.
Just like you're hugging him. All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your love and your righteousness.
All of your love and your righteousness.
Filling every part of my life.
Filling every part of my life.
With all the fullness of God.
With all the fullness of God.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the word of God.
Understand the word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly language.
And live a successful life.
And live a successful life.
As a believer every day.
As a believer every day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Welcome to the family of God. You did it. Here you are. This is who we are, and this is what we look like. We're just like you. That experience that you're going through right now on the inside is very interesting, because you just went from darkness to light on the inside. And you went from fear to faith on the inside. You went from your sin to Jesus' righteousness on the inside, and you just said, fill me with all of your love, mercy, grace, and righteousness. And he did it. He's the rewarder of them who diligently seek him. In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
And we're glad you're with us. Now, you might say, Pastor, how do I walk with God every day? Just walk with him every day. Talk with him just like you talk with your spouse, your best friend, somebody at work, your mom, your dad, whatever. Whoever it is in your life, just talk to them. When you wake up in the morning, say, Father, help me walk with you today. You stop at noon, say, thank you for being with us. And then ask him questions about everything that happened from the last time you prayed till right then. Why about this, 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 and this? Why did it happen like that? And then listen, and you'll get an awareness and understanding that God is ministering to you right now. It's really cool. It's really cool in God. May not be the first couple times you pray, but it'll happen. When you lay down in your bed at night, make sure you say, Lord, I'll have a dream from you tonight. Speak to me in the night season. And then, how did I do today? Ask that question. And then listen for an understanding to come within you. And you will begin to teach yourself to hear the voice of God, and you'll walk with him every day. Got over 900 videos. We can help you understand the kingdom of God, and we want to do that. Click like, subscribe, hit the bell. My email address and website's right there in the notes in the comments. Will be a blessing to you. Remember, I do my best to get a timestamp in at the beginning of the message. If I forget to do that, I encourage you to do it. Go in and see what the timestamp is when a message starts. Like tonight is somewhere about 6:58. And you'd write that 06:58 and then put message begin. If you see I miss it, you do it and help us out. It's a blessing to us.
Yeah.
And we just appreciate you being a part of our life and ministry. Share this with your family, your friends, your relatives, your neighbors, your loved ones, your countrymen. And it'll be a blessing to you and to them. And until we see you again, in under 30 minutes for once, we say, remember this, we love you.
We love you.
And God loves you. And Jesus is
Lord.
See you soon. In Jesus' mighty name.